Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're having a good coming weekend wherever you are in the world. My parents are down. Gonna be chilling out with them for a bit. So, we have got more Maxwell news. Of course, this story is not going out of the news. We've got the survivors and the survivors' lawyers, a big event coming up, and Trump is sitting down with Putin, trying to get Trump Putin. More search than Trump Epstein right now. Anyway, we have got lots more news about Maxwell in the prison, how she is getting accepted or rejected there. There's the old mugshot. Sam says she's not in prison. She is at a captive retirement village for wayward millionaires. Exactly. And we've looked at the history of Club Fed, and you have nailed it. That is exactly what Club Fed was designed for. Cushy time. For politicians who've fallen out of favor, got to give them a slap on the wrist to show that we are upholding the law, that we are not above the law, and we send them to Club Fed. Well, now they're saying that her arrival at this camp is sparking tension and restrictions. It sends a shot of tension across the all-female units. Even while her lawyer says she's in a safer facility, as there is intense political inquiry around the Jeffrey case. The living conditions are, of course, much less restrictive than where she came from, but it's still a tricky situation because the Epstein co-conspirator won't get all the benefits that some of the inmates might get. Apparently, she's being denied access to puppies to train, and she's getting denied the ability to leave the facility for work, according to more than half a dozen people familiar with the Bryan prison, the programs, and the inmates there. So I watched a video this morning that gave the complete opposite of that and said that she is eligible for work release. She could be working at a Starbucks, grooming local student population. So let's see what this latest news story is saying. The inmates in Bryan are largely non-violent white-collar offenders, and they were warned by prison staff to use discretion when talking about Maxwell since she has arrived, according to two people who represent inmates in the Bryan prison camp. She's not making any friends, says Sam, a prison consultant who works with clients at the prison camp. Sam described Maxwell as radioactive. And let me just put the call-in show number on the screen. I've been telling people if you can call in worldwide on 01144. Actually, that's the number from America. If you're outside of America, it's 044. We've got that number on the screen as well right now. It's the 044 number. So if anyone wants to call in or join us on the screen, we've even got the StreamYard link is in the description and I've put it in the live chat. All right, I'll keep going. So the relaxed nature of the camp became more tense when Ghislaine arrived, which is typical of high-profile inmates on the inside, Sam said. Nobody's going to rock the boat there. They want to serve the remainder of their sentences with whatever modicum of comfort Brian provides, he added about the other inmates. So, if you're in a short-term minimum camp, you just want to get through it. You don't want to rock the boat. You just want to get to the end of your sentence because there's a tendency when people find out you're getting near the end of your sentence, there are people who will try and prolong your stay by getting you in some kind of disciplinary action, some kind of trouble, so you get a ticket. Or you can even get more charges. Get in a fight, they can charge you in a criminal court. You can have a whole new case and they can extend your stay. So there's a lot of shenanigans in prison that go on. Anyway, the Daily Telegraph wrote last week that a prisoner at Bryan said she was disgusted by Maxwell's transfer there. in a comment provided to the publication through the inmate's husband. Since that comment was published, prison officials pulled that inmate, Julie Howell, out of a puppy training class in the camp and then transferred her out of the facility, according to her lawyer. So we did report when Julie Howell said these things. We reported on that, and now she has been transferred out of the prison. She's now at a federal detention center in Houston, the lawyer and the Bureau of Prison Records say. So anyone going on the record to talk about Maxwell, when they've been told not to talk about Maxwell, are probably going to receive some kind of disciplinary action and get transferred out of the prison. So there's a huge disincentive now for the rest of the prison population, probably to say, to sell the stories still, but not to put their names on the record. Howell's lawyer, Patrick McLean, said to CNN yesterday, "Nobody's going to say anything about Ghislaine Maxwell now. Are you kidding?" Two inmates who were released from Bryan in the past year haven't heard anything yet on how Maxwell is faring inside, or even which of the three units in the camp she is housed in. One recently released inmate, Jill Ford, told CNN she would have been concerned with Maxwell's presence there around visitation time. "Many of the women inside the prison have children who visit them frequently, where the families are also able to be seen by other inmates in the visitation rooms. It's not known what level of visitation ability Maxwell has." So if you're in minimum security visitation, you are basically allocated a table with your visitors. It's not behind the glass, not behind the plexiglass. You're not chained up. If you're in minimum, you're just sat there with your visitors. As you arrive, you can give them a hug. And if, for example, if you've got your girlfriend visiting, they say to you that you've got to hug your girlfriend like you are hugging your mom. There's no petting, there's no snogging, there's no footsie under the table, anything like that. And they've got all these rules on the wall. They've got visitation officers stationed at a desk, and they've got some patrolling, watching for people trying to pass contraband. So if Maxwell has got the same visitation privileges as everybody else, then she would be in a big old room, sat at a table with her visitors, and other people will be sat around on their tables with their visitors. And you and your visitors are not supposed to interact with other prisoners and other visitors on their tables. Of course, there's always a bit of banter going on, but if the guards see you, they can end your visit. If the guards see you petting, snogging, they can end your visit. If the guards see you violating the 101 rules they have, they can end your visit. And in a minimum security visitation, I was in Arizona. I was in a federal prison, deportation. I was also in state, mostly. Usually they've got vending machines. The food is so disgusting in the prison. The vending machine food is like a luxury. So you get your visitor to bring some coins with them, and they can access the vending machine and get you something like a burrito. And you can sit at your table with your visitor and eat your burrito. And that's the highlight of the visit for many prisoners, because they are so starved by the prison chow. It is disgusting. All right, let me continue anyway. So it'll be interesting to find out when Maxwell takes visits. You know, her brother's been quite an activist for her. If he flies out there and she gets visits. The other thing is, as well, when you're waiting to go into the visit area, usually you're in a cage or like a glass cubicle with a number of other prisoners waiting to go into the visitation room, the strip searches. But if you're in that cubicle with other prisoners and those prisoners have got young people visiting them, their children, and they don't want Maxwell out there with the family members who are young people in the age range she has preyed on, well, then something unfortunate is going to happen to her in that cubicle that's going to prevent her from going to a visit. So her release date, even though she's sentenced to 20 years, she's already got a load of back time, and her release date is presently set for 12 years from now. But it looks like the Trump administration are going to drastically reduce that or give her a pardon. And Candace Owens has been doing tremendous work on this. I commend her. just really calling out the Trump admin. And how are they going to explain that to the public, folks, if they let her go? All right, so designation downgrades. This transfer from a more restrictive prison in the Florida camp continues to raise questions around the Justice Department's reason for her move and the treatment she may receive inside her new home. And as far as I'm concerned, she had to sit down with the administration. She said exactly what they wanted to hear, and she is being rewarded. And further, the further reward is going to be reducing her prison sentence. So let me just ask the chat. Guys, put a one in the chat if you think the Trump administration is rewarding Ghislaine Maxwell with this soft prison and a possible pardon. Put a two in the chat if you think the Trump administration would never reward a heinous human transporter such as Maxwell. I see a few ones coming in. Nearly all ones. Yep, look how far we've come. America's put a two in there, but nearly all ones. All right. On Thursday, yesterday, Maxwell's attorney, David O'Marcus, offered a reason. The transfer happened because Maxwell needed a safer placement. Now that, folks, is absolute BS. Because prison is an environment of ever-present danger. Everybody in prison. One minute, they can be playing cards, they can be watching TV, they can be sat down having their chow. Next minute, someone comes up behind someone with a shank and does some serious damage, and there's blood squirting everywhere, and everyone's getting locked down. It's just absolute mayhem, prison. It's non-stop violence. So to say she's got moved because of safety reasons, safer placement, every prisoner in the United States, of which there are 2.5 million, I do believe, in the system presently, could put in an application to get moved to somewhere placer because there is violence and mayhem around them. That is absolute nonsense, folks, from someone who served 6 years. As soon as you go in, I was in state Arizona jail, Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Let's get used to the sounds of heads getting bashed against toilets, bodies getting thrown around, the sounds of people getting thrown against walls, seeing people's teeth just flying out, people trying to bite ears off, fingers off, on and on and on. I saw a guy with his leg pointing in the completely wrong direction. It never ends. So for this lawyer, O'Marcus, Maxwell's lawyer, she needed a safer placement. If I went to the guards and said I need a safer placement, they would laugh in my face, folks. You want a safer placement? I'll get right on that. That was their catchphrase. I'll get right on that. And you would never see them again. Or you've got nothing coming. And then you would never see them again. They don't give a crap about how dangerous your situation is. The guards will instigate fights and bet on who's going to win. Look at the interviews we did with the guys who were in Corcoran Prison or Yaris, where the guards were orchestrating fights to the death. This is ridiculous that the lawyer has said that. So here's a continuation of that quote, actually. I'm surprised to hear my progressive friends criticizing more humane prisons and Ghislaine's transfer to a safer facility, especially after she faced serious danger in Tallahassee. The outrage machine wants to turn a safer placement into a scandal. Oh my goodness, these guys aren't in the real world. Maxwell would have been housed potentially around women convicted of violent crime in the low-security federal correction institution in Tallahassee. Well, if you're really dangerous, you're not going to be in low security. Even if you came in with a violent crime, you have worked your way down the system by behaving yourself to qualify for a low security institution. So that is BS as well, folks. They only let people who've not gotten into any trouble in prison for years, no violent disciplinary reports, to go on a low security camp. And they're trying to make it sound like she would have been around murderers and all kinds of people who are doing damage to other prisoners consistently, which is absolute nonsense. But people familiar with the BOP system are saying these things in her favor. While the prison camp in Bryan is an even less secure facility, designated as a minimum security by BOP, it houses non-violent offenders who have largely committed only white-collar federal crimes. Hey, but look, if you're a white-collar offender and you've got a son or a daughter and all of a sudden there's a human transporter on your wing, I have seen white-collar offenders become violent offenders in those circumstances, folks. People will go to lengths to make unfortunate things happen to people who are human transporters. Have you heard of KOS and SOS? So, women convicted of non-violent white-collar crimes are able to move about more freely inside and bunk together in dormitory-style rooms. Look, if you've got one cellmate, all you've got to worry about at night when you're locked down is your cellmate. If you're in a dorm with 50 other women, you got to worry about 50 other women creeping up on you in the night. I would not say that a dorm is safer than being in a jail cell with one other person. Because all it takes is one out of 50 to be upset with you instead of your cellmate to be upset with you. It's come creeping up on you in the night. I had a situation where I was celled up with a serial home invader torturer. And he threatened me when I came in. I put my bedding down on the top bunk, and he had some artwork up there. And he was like showing me the padlock in the sock he could smash my head in with. So I had to seriously, live my life in a way that he couldn't do me any damage, let's say. It's a very precarious situation to be in if you get stuck with a bad cellmate. But throughout my entire 6 years, I was blessed having great cellmates. And just before I got released, my whole yard was moved to a dorm. 200 people in a dorm where anyone can do anything to anyone. That would have been my worst nightmare. I'm so glad I dodged the dorm. All right, so it's also unusually not allowed for an inmate with as many years as Maxwell still has left on a sentence, more than 10, to be allowed in a prison camp. Exactly. You've got to be like within so many years of getting released to come to a prison camp like this. You've not got to have human transportation charges. It just shows that this whole thing is a favor by the Trump admin, a quid pro quo. So Maxwell's attorney, Marcus, is declining to provide any additional information. Spokespeople from the Justice Department and the Bureau of Prisons haven't responded to multiple requests for comment this week. The unusual nature of Maxwell's transfer coming after she spoke to Deputy Attorney General Todd, Trump's old lawyer, for 2 days following a proffer agreement has also caught the attention of Capitol Hill. Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse has requested more information from the Bureau of Prisons about her transfer and internal BOP designations. A spokesperson for White House said he hasn't received any new information as of yet. But just because Ghislain now has some of these lower designations doesn't mean she'll get full access to what the camp has to offer. Some of the programs inmates want to participate in may not accept her. For instance, at Bryan work release programs, they train certified nursing assistants, according to several people familiar with the camp. This is a program run by the Southern Careers Institute an education company that screens applicants from the prison and won't allow inmates with certain charges to take part in the program if they apply. Canine Companions places puppies in federal prisons for inmates to train as service dogs, has explicitly said it will not allow Maxwell into the puppy program at the prison camp. Currently, there are 7 puppies: Kianda, Lisa the 7th, Louise the 5th, Mavis the 4th, Hector the 7th, Gator the 5th, paired with a total of 15 inmate handlers at Bryan. The inmates keep the dogs with them from 8 weeks to 17 months, teaching the puppies their first 20 or so tasks to use in service of people with disabilities, and the inmates groom, exercise, and socialize the puppies inside the prison. And I'm totally for that. That is an excellent use of prison time, folks. In my experience, prison was just mayhem, violence, drugs, gangs, just absolute insanity with hardly any chance for rehabilitation. If they can rehabilitate prisoners using puppies and those puppies go on to help disabled people, then that is helping society, folks. And Wildman was working with dogs in prison. His favorite, he had a dog that he was training to help blind people. And he said that was the happiest he ever was in prison, was training this dog. So Maxwell has not applied to the puppy program. But if she were to, the puppy program wouldn't accept her. There's a video out there with Wildman talking about his training the blind dog. I think we've got a call in. Hello.
Hello, Sean. How are you doing, Ben?
Yeah, who's this, please?
Good, my name's Gary. I'm from Essex, Romford, Essex. And I just wanted to say, a big thank you, because your show does really well. I've been watching your channel for a while. And like you were saying a little while ago, it's just all a bit of a ruse. I just think it's one big charade. I don't believe anything on Trump now, and I was really for Trump. But now I just think it's just, like you said, it's just pushing us along. Oh, we're going to do something. Oh, we're going to help out. And then it's just pushes it along a little bit more, and then, oh, they ain't going to do anything again. And, you know, you had David Icke on talking about stuff, and I've been into David Icke for about 15, 20 years. I reckon I went to see him at Brixton Academy in 2006, I think. And, you know, he was saying so much stuff way before it happened. And he called it right in a lot of his books, Sean. So just thank you for trying to get the truth out there. And I appreciate that. But it just seems like one big game, like one big load of charades, really, doesn't it?
Well said, Gary. You've summed up my feelings exactly, and I imagine the feelings of many of the viewers. We were all so hopeful. You know, the freedom of speech was getting addressed. All that woke BS was getting addressed. The human transporters were going to be targeted. And now you've got the poster child for human transportation, the biggest, most famous person in the world, getting rewarded by the very administration that made us all of these promises. It's absolutely heartbreaking for me and many of the viewers, and it sounds like it's the same for you as well, Gary.
So it's devastating, Sean. But I just as I said, thank you, the guy that's, you know, he's running your live and doing this, checking people, to you for just trying, you know, because if there wasn't things like this and like David in the 2000s and 90s, it would all be, you know, they'd be like, they try to hush it as much as they can. So just thank you very much for trying hard, Sean. And I don't know what we're going to do about it, as it's very hard. What do we do? But at least we know, acknowledge that I think every time I see a news thing, I just don't ever believe the news anymore, whatever it is. I just see that it's just one big look over here. It's always a little. So I suppose that just makes that stronger, Sean. So thank you very much, and I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you for calling in, my friend. You take care. Hope to speak to you in the future. Cheers, Gary.
No worries.
All right, that was Gary, folks. And he's laid it down exactly how many of us are feeling. And it was great that David Icke came on with such short notice Because when David Icke predicted all of these things, there was such a backlash against him. People said he was peeing on the parade of all of the people who were celebrating Trump getting in. And many independent journalists who had done collaborations with Icke in the past were going against Icke. But I've always kept Icke's thoughts in the back of my mind because he's always been proven correct in the long run. And yet again, he's been proven correct now. And I think all those independent journalists should apologize to him and get him back on and point out that he was right, because some people are just saying, like David Icke said, when promises are made to people and those promises are broken, some people wake up and realize that they were lied to, but other people start to double down and justify why the person is continuing to do the complete opposite of what they said. And there's so many different crazy justifications out there right now for things. But David Icke was dead right. Now, you know, with the Trump-Putin thing, I think it's great that Trump is speaking to Putin. I think it's madness that the previous administration, the Bidens and the Clintons, just were salivating to go to war with Putin. What? How's that going to end for all of us in a world of, you know, mutually assured destruction with nuclear bombs? Those nuclear submarines that Trump sent out, there's two of them, each one has the capacity of 6,000 Hiroshimas. And I know Trump is just flexing ahead of this meeting, but we don't want war with Russia, folks. We don't want war with China. This is how all previous empires, grandiose, egotistical leaders such as Hitler, Napoleon, they've all sowed, accelerated their own destructions of their own countries by going to war with Russia. Yet the globalists are just all over that still to this day. They think they can carve Russia up into a bunch of pieces, exploit all of their resources, which are a multiple of Ukraine, and somehow make all this money for themselves. Theft, basically. Just like Napoleon wanted to steal Russia, Hitler wanted to steal Russia, the globalists want to steal Russia. And let's see what Trump does next. Because he's got some paths to redemption when it comes to geopolitics. And one of them would be to end the war in Ukraine, which is not a war of Ukraine against Russia. That is a CIA-backed NATO expansion war started by the globalists, not Ukraine. Ukraine was just blood sacrificed by the vested interests. And I've said all along, my heart goes out to the Ukrainian people. The millions of them have died just so these globalists can try and make money. Military industrial complex, etc. This is a war started by CIA, globalists, NATO expansion, not Ukraine, not Russia. And let's see if it's going to end here, because America pretends to end wars while keeping them going and while providing the arms to profit from all sides. It's the old banking method, isn't it? You arm both sides of the war, pretend you want peace, but keep the wars going. And America's an expert at that. And when I say America, I'm not about the American people. They don't want war, they want peace. I'm on about the globalists. Anyway, I've gone off on a bit of a sidetrack there because, I could hear Gary loud and well banned. He sounded really good on that call. We were talking about Maxwell. Here we go. Here's what the CEO of Canine Companions has said. We do not allow anyone who has committed crimes against animals or minors. That's because they're vulnerable populations. The goal is to give the puppies love and enough confidence to continue to learn tasks. Two other high-profile inmates at Bryant, Elizabeth Holmes and Jennifer Shah of Real Housewives, are not part of the puppy program, said Mazzoni, the Canine Companions CEO. All right. So that is the latest Maxwell news, folks. We have got two mega shows coming up tomorrow. Let me pull these up for you. Huge thank you for supporting Lauren with the Elite Network Exposed series. She's got part four coming out tomorrow, I think, with Ed Oppenheimer. Oh, and he's a phenomenal guest. I spoke to him years ago. So we've got that one coming out tomorrow. I think they're going to be talking about Diddy, Maxwell, and Trump. That's 6 p.m. UK. And then we got Misha coming on for the first time from 7 to 9, who is an MK Ultra survivor, and she'll also be talking about alien abduction. And when this video ends, it's going to go over to our trailer for our Andrew Loney podcast that's coming out on Monday, exposing Lord Mountbatten. So I'm going to go and have lunch with Jen and my parents. They're visiting for the weekends. There's a heat wave here in the UK. And I hope all y'all have a great weekend wherever you are in the world. I hope to see some of you in tomorrow's lives. Thanks for tuning in.